Today, I'm here with Pleb Goodies. We're going to be discussing Trump, Iran, and Israel, some of the chaos going on in the world right now, and how that relates to Bitcoin. I hope you enjoy. Here's the video.
This is very unexpected.
I know. It's like a last minute podcast.
Literally just coming from the garage because I usually finish with the day job, sort of finished all the orders, and then I feed the cats, go out, do some training, and then come back in. So I am actually sweating like a pig.
Well, thank you so much for doing this. I know it was super unexpected, and I just figured, why not just throw it out there to see if anybody is available to talk right now, since I had that cancellation. And there's so much to talk about right now, so I'm excited to, you know, get some opinions on what's happening. I feel like, even though we're Bitcoiners, you know, all of the stuff that's happening in the world is just, it's hard not to watch what's going on. Yeah. And it just feels like, you know, it has everything to do with Bitcoin, you know? So even though like a lot of Bitcoiners don't want to pay attention to this kind of stuff, it's like, this is why we understand Bitcoin. This is why we opt out of what's happening. So this whole conflict, you know, right before this, I think actually some of this, you know, between Israel, I think they struck Iran first, because they thought that they had nuclear weapons and they were developing them, and they said they're, you know, we want to take out their nuclear facilities.
I think it's because didn't Trump give Iran 60 days to do a deal or come to the table for a deal? And I think the 60 days was up. So whether or not Trump gave the nod, because he did warn, didn't he, if there wasn't a deal or if you haven't come to the table in 60 days, you sort of don't want what's coming next. But I think it was Iran that struck. No, it was Israel struck Iran, and then Iran is currently firing back on.
Yeah, and then I think from what I understand, which is just crazy, is that when they struck Iran, I keep wanting to say Iraq, you know, it's like, but when they struck Iran, they took out their nuclear capabilities, they took out their facilities, the people that are able to make these weapons and the uranium and everything they're worried about. But then now that Trump urged them to make another, like a deal to like agree that they're not going to create nuclear weapons, if you already took out their nuclear facilities, why are you now they're talking about Tehran, you know, launching a full attack? There was like a huge evacuation yesterday.
Well, we usually know the reasons, don't we? It's the I think the only reason Trump, before he became president again, it's sort of put himself as the president of peace. There were no wars when he was last there, and that's pretty much true. But every government, it seems, needs a reason to print the money. And war is about as good a reason as they can get for printing money. It's pretty much a free-for-all then. Because they say they put it in the context of we're saving lives. It's you we're printing it for. It's you we're doing it for. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's under the guise of we're a humanitarian effort, but if they couldn't print more, they couldn't fund war. I just love that. And it's so true. And it's crazy to think that everything that was happening prior to this weekend, or I think it was on Saturday, was that No Kings protest, or maybe it was on Sunday. But you saw people globally standing up to tyranny and dictatorship and all this stuff. But I feel like people are, I don't know how you feel about this, but I see it as people are waking up to, you know, control of governments. And I think that they almost have the right idea. I think people are just trying to fight against what they don't realize yet is the money is the root of the problem.
Yeah. Well, I say it all the time. It just follow the money and see where the money's going, see what the money's doing, and you'll you'll find what's going on. But I think people are gradually waking up a little bit. They're currently waking up, I think, to politicians. And as soon as they wake up to politicians, the rest sort of follows. They'll wake up to the money thing. Amazes me they haven't woken up to the money thing already, given the state of inflation and the, what have you got, America's, what is it, 36, 37 trillion in debt, which is a staggering amount of money.
Oh, that's what I think that they you, how you have to ask yourself the question, how does a country, like, even though we're not directly involved in the war, we're funding the war, we're helping Israel with this war. So how does a country that's $36 trillion in debt, where do they get the money to fund the war? People aren't asking questions like that. So it's like, that's the question you need to ask. That's what you need to find out, because we don't have money to support this war. So they're creating it to support the war. We're broke, you know? So.
Well, they've got themselves into such a mess with the money. They've screwed it up so badly. The only option they do have is to print. That's the only thing they can do now is to carry on printing. There's no other way of doing it. They can't tax their way out of it. They can't grow their way out of it. Of course, there's the other alternative, which is Bitcoin, but it seems to me they're a bit slow. I know there's been great news on it and everything, particularly with the Bitcoin Reserve, but since the announcement of the Bitcoin Reserve, there's not really been anything since. They've not said how much Bitcoin they do currently have, if they've still got it. And they're not buying more at the moment, so
It just makes you
I'm
wonder too that maybe a lot of this fear in the world, whenever wars erupt and there's a lot of uncertainty in the world and in the economies, maybe it's I don't know, like I like to have that paranoid angle to think what they're really doing in the background. But if markets drop, then that's when they can actually make their move and buy it at a cheaper price. So it's almost like causing chaos to be able to benefit from cheaper prices. So that could be part of it. But even seeing lately the split in the MAGA base, seeing how so many supporters of Trump, I think, are just realizing that this is like weapons of mass destruction 2.0. And it's like you supposedly like eliminated the nuclear facilities, but then now you're going to continue to attack because they didn't promise that they won't create nuclear weapons. So it's just going to be this ongoing war now forever, that we
I
don't have
think
enough to pay for.
when it was Iraq, I believe Iraq was not part of the World Bank before the war. And I think now they are part of the World Bank. So there's sort of a call me paranoid if you like, but that seems to be a link, I would say. They are now part of the World Bank, whereas before the war they weren't. So maybe the reason to go in was make them part of the World Bank. I don't know. Could
Yeah.
be.
I mean, yeah, you never know about that, but it's just kind of you just I always try to think about the end game here, and what's the end game except for hyperinflation and more pain with people globally. Like, it's not like our dollar doesn't affect the rest of the world, and that's why people need to wake up to Bitcoin, because Bitcoin is something outside of this corrupt system where, you know, they'll use human lives, kill and bomb and just keep attacking just to be able to launder money through wars.
To
And
prolong the money, that's all it is. It's literally to stretch out as much as, because they've all got a brain in their head. These are all relatively intelligent people. They know it's screwed. They know the only way they can not save it, but drag it out, prolong it, is just to carry on printing. And that's the only way they know how to get through it. Because the truth is, I suppose the other option is coming out and saying, sorry, it's broken. We don't know what to do. Maybe go back on a gold standard. That might even be a viable option. But there's no talk around there. They're just not going to do it. And I it it perplexes me. These intelligent people, they know it's broken and they're deliberately driving forward with continuing to break it further.
Yeah,
Amazes
I
me.
think they
And
know
all
they
these
have.
wars, these war, how they sleep at night as well, with all the people that die, and innocent people on both sides as well.
Yeah, and you have
All
people
just so
looking
they
in
can
the
get by and drag things out even more. It's crazy.
Yeah. And I see Lindsey Graham speaking, I see Pulse on X and he's just talking, he's a warmonger. Like he's just constantly like, just go for it. You don't have anything. You don't have kids. I don't think he has kids, but it's just, you don't care about the future and what happens to the world after you're gone. You're just caring about yourself. Like, I don't understand how, yeah, how do you sleep at night? Like, how do you sleep at night knowing that it's all for greed and you're just killing people because you care about your sitting up in your ivory tower? And that's the whole thing about the no kings. It's like you're these people that are the kings of the world. It's not just the people that people were protesting against, thinking that that's what you're fighting against. You're fighting against all of these elites that are manipulating and controlling and ruining your currency, which makes your life hard. So it's like that's like Bitcoin is no kings. Bitcoin is no rulers. And that's the true movement right there. So I think I saw this protest as the beginnings of something like when people get angry enough about something, and this was like a global protest, that happened. But it's almost like I felt like, oh, they're so close. I was thinking, they're almost there. They're thinking about they have the right idea, but they need to go a little deeper,
It's gonna take a considerable well, I don't know. I mean, it's pretty considerable what's happened so far, and most still haven't woken up to it, but I don't know what extreme event it will take for them to realize and finally work it out, you know? Work out where the money's going and how broken it all is. It's just nuts, absolutely nuts. The only problem I've got with it is, sadly, we can't put this guy on my mug
You can't put what?
anywhere near where the bombs are landing.
Oh, yeah. I know.
It's Bill's.
Kill bills. Kill bills.
Little Bill's head on there, see?
That's awesome. I love that.
Another disgusting person who,
Yeah, but it's.
again, I don't know how he sleeps at night either.
It's just so scary to see the amount. It's almost like as this like system is fighting for its life, it feels like the control is fighting for greater control. But the more they try to control, the more people see the truth. Just like in COVID, a lot of people learned about Bitcoin because they started actually asking what money is during that time. But now it's like every time the government like fucks up more, the more they keep doing that, the more people realize the truth. So it's like even when I saw what's happening in Israel, I saw Efrat post about it. I don't know if you saw her post, but she had left Israel. She lives there. Yeah, she went to Bitcoin Prague, but she said that she got out, but I don't think she's able to come back in because the government has now shut down who can go in and out. But the people that live there, it's the people that live in Israel are now not allowed to leave Israel. Now they're stuck in Israel. They don't have a choice to leave. And that makes me feel like they are now using their citizens as hostages in a way.
Yeah, they
Because
are.
it's like now you don't have a choice to escape your country knowing that there could be imminent attacks and you could die and you don't have a choice to not die and just leave, for a while till things settle down. You're stuck there. And I think literally it just reminds you of chess and they're the pawns. Like they're using their people as pawns. And it's like, hey, if you want to attack Israel, you're going to kill a whole lot of people. So we're not evacuating. We're standing our ground. We're not allowing our citizens to evacuate. So go ahead and bomb us. Then you'll look more evil. So they don't care. They just want to use them.
Basically a human shield.
Yes. So they're just pawns, and it's like when you realize this and when you realize that it's all for money, it's like that is what I hope everyone just starts standing up against that and starts realizing that Bitcoin is the way to cut off the supply to this system, this evil system. And then I even saw, oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say there's another way of looking at it as well. All this money you spend on tanks, planes, missiles. I mean, I think I was reading somewhere some missiles in a crazy money are somewhere like $50-60 million a missile, something like that, just by Bitcoin, that it said. Right. 50-60 million quid's worth of Bitcoin. Just do that.
Yeah. And how many times? Yeah. They could be saying that these things cost a certain amount of money and they actually cost a fraction of that, but they just, you know, who's going to offer all those weapons and everything they're using in this war?
The back end around there, someone's going to have the brown envelope down a bit as well.
Yeah.
Which is plenty of that going on.
Right. It's just, it's such a sick group of people. And, you know, I think it's come a time, like, we're not barbarians like years ago, like when there was wars all the time. It's like we should be able to make a deal, solve things without killing people. And that's what I think is interesting about this Trump situation, because you're seeing such a like a rift through his supporters. Some people saying going like defending Israel against these supposed weapons of mass destruction that they're building all the time. It's like, you know, you're just not caring about, you wanted to be the president for peace. You know, you said, I haven't had wars all my presidencies, but then now it's like, did you lie to them? Because those people don't think it's America first. Those people are thinking, you said America first, you said you would end wars, kind of thing. But then now it just seems like, oh, well, you didn't make this deal, so now we're gonna attack you. Well, that's not gonna have the same legacy that you thought you had about being a president that had peace and didn't have wars during his terms.
No.
So I don't know why he's doing this. It's
I sort of understand the peace through strength aspect, but what he's doing now, he's sort of teetering on the edge, but he's just about to step into a massive war, which is not peace through strength, that is war. And with Iran, it'll be a big one too. And the other issue is that China will back Iran, which is a serious worry. Yeah, they were saying they're already shipping them out ammunition and military equipment and everything else.
So China is their ally?
To Iran, yeah.
So that just shows you right there. It's like you're attacking them in this way. You don't think that they're going to have support from another country, which you've been saying is our enemy this whole time. You're literally just picking it a fight, you know. And honestly, I think that every other country has nuclear capabilities. So I think it's kind of crazy that is it because they think if they have them, they will destroy the world. They will attack Israel with all their force. Why is it that they can't have nukes where everyone else has them just in case, you know, because everyone knows if you go and use them,
ending the world. They're a deterrent. If Iran used them, I mean, that's the end of Iran. It gets wiped off the face of the earth, as well as sadly somewhere else that gets wiped off the face of the earth, and we've all got a problem.
Right.
But, that's why, I mean, nobody's ever going to use them. It makes no sense to blow the world to smithereens, really, does it?
Because it's like this whole playing chicken thing. Like, we have them, but everyone knows if they use them, literally we're all dead. Like, it's going to be like the end of the world. So it's like everyone just knows, like, we have them, but we're going to use it if you don't do this. So it's all just like a threat, you know, but nobody wants to. Everyone, even any of these people that you think are evil and all of your enemies, they all have kids, they all have families, they have people they don't want to see die in that way. So whether you think that they're, you know, they do want to protect themselves, but it's almost like a threat just to say, we have them too. We're, you know, but I think that it is something that nobody really wants to use. And are they just thinking that if they do use them, they will destroy the world? Like, is that where they're going with it? Like, they think they'll just go ahead and use them?
It's the worry that there will one day be that one crazy. I mean, I think they're all psychopaths anyway. Just the fact that they sleep at night doing what they do, that just makes them a psychopath. I don't know how they do it, because the decisions they make, and, you know, 1,000 people die there, 5,000 there, 6,000 there, 100,000 tomorrow, but they sleep. So you've got to be a psychopath to do that. So the worry is an even bigger psychopath comes along and does push the button. But I don't think it happens, because the person who does push that button, he's going to be vaporized within seconds. So why would you do it? It's nuts.
Yeah. Plus
you would imagine there's quite a procedure to go through before you did it as well. Well, right. One would hope there's quite a procedure to go through.
I mean, this
comes down to them all being sick psychopaths. And we keep, as I say, I think people are starting to wake up to mm-hmm. these type of politicians now, especially this side of things, actually, because Nigel Farage is getting quite a lot of attention, and it is very likely he may win the next election in 4 years' time. But he basically... He sort of goes on this honesty thing. He sort of tells it how it is. People sort of see eye to eye with him because he speaks their language. Whether he's any different when whether he keeps that up when he does get into power, who knows? But the sounds are at least good.
Yeah,
you never know completely until they're actually in power, and then they just they might all be WEF puppets for all we know.
Right.
And they might get controlled. Some of them actually behave like they're blackmailed people.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to bring that up.
Somebody's got something on them, you know?
I was going to bring that up because I saw this post from Anonymous, you know, and I don't know if they post very often, but I did see a post yesterday, and, you know, that paranoid side of me too. I just start to think, like, what the video said was that there is blackmail, like sexual blackmail type of things that are happening right now. And they say that they have something that they're going to release in the next like 17 days or something like that, where it shows that there is a false flag operation being planned where something could happen and that US could be attacked and it'll be blamed on, you know, another country. Just like how there's so many conspiracies about 9/11, how it was really an inside job and it wasn't really from the outside. There's all those conspiracies. And so I hope this doesn't happen, but they said in the next 17 days or so, like it could happen soon, where there will be some kind of false flag operation. They want to expose it. They want to expose that there's blackmail happening to pretty much force people to go to war. So if people don't go and start these wars, if they don't go and inflate this money supply the way that the elites want this to happen because they have no choice, there's people, it's almost like there's people pulling the puppet strings, being like, hey, you have to do this. This is how we're going to push the narrative. This is how we're going to get into this war, and you have to do what I say or we'll expose you.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of that going on, because regardless of what politicians say before they get to power, they're often saying something different before they get to power. And then when they get to power, it all falls into line to be the same as the last one. So to me, I mean, when I really started thinking that was during COVID, when Boris Johnson we had at the time, and he was up doing they do the public announcements with the two doctors either side of them. Telling us how many people are dying allegedly every day of COVID, which was all fake anyway. But when I said to my brother at the time, I said, if you look at him speaking, I said, he looks like he's got a gun to his head. He's not speaking normally. It's like he's being forced to say what he's saying at the moment.
Right.
And it was really quite striking because Boris Johnson is quite a flamboyant person, quite a, he'll say things in a funny way and he'll do a brew, but there was none of that. It was scripted this time. And it was like he was made to say it. He was saying it and he didn't believe it himself, you know?
Yeah. And you could
Really
notice those things.
disturbing.
I mean, it's not just in your imagination. Like, it really feels like they think that they're doing these things, but we can tell. Like, we can tell that that's not their usual behavior. And it does feel a lot of times like people are forced. I felt the same way during when Kamala was having her campaigns with some of the celebrities that were endorsing her. I felt like they were just reading off their phone or reading off a script. It didn't really seem like they were actually supporting like in a heartfelt way or something that seemed real. So yeah, you can kind of tell like it just doesn't feel right, you know? So yeah, this is just gonna be crazy. And I hope more people get exposed. I hope whatever this is, it comes out so it can stop some of these tyrants from doing some of the stuff they do. But
I always hope that. And every single time there's an inquiry or there's this, that, and the other, it goes on for years and years. Everyone forgets about it, and it all gets brushed under the carpet. And the classic line will come out: "We've learned the lessons."
yeah.
Well, sorry, but that's not good enough. When you're responsible for killing thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of
Yeah,
people
and
need to go to jail for that.
when they constantly get like when blackmail is a normal thing in this world, and especially for these elites, it's I'm tired of them getting away with it and just covering it up by killing other people or starting wars or doing things that they shouldn't be doing and just to protect themselves. It's like you did a bad thing, you should be exposed. And I don't give a shit about it. I don't want to protect you. Like I don't want you to
If you or I did the same thing or an equivalent thing and thousands of people died, we would be in prison for the rest of our lives. So I don't see it as any different. If a decision I make today all of a sudden results in 1,000 people dying or even one person dying, I go to jail. So it should be the same. So you make that decision, or you not necessarily make a decision, but when you actively know that your decision is going to kill people,
Yeah,
and
it's
that
like,
can be proved, then you go to jail.
yeah, and
It's
it's
that
like you're
simple.
selling your soul because you're protecting your ego, you're protecting one person at the cost of millions of lives. You know, you're protecting yourself from the things you have done and you're not facing. It's like if you did something, okay, let's call their bluff, let them expose it, and you should go down. It's like go down instead of ruining the world and continuing to do terrible things and destroying lives and destruction and chaos and fear everywhere in the world, just so you can push this this agenda of inflation and continuing to enrich those at the top. And
All for printing money. That's all it's about. It's just printing more and more. I think this the new bill, is it the what he calls the big beautiful bill? Is that resulting in something like 5 trillions worth of printing, I think?
yes.
God, dear.
Yeah, it's
That
like
is
five.
just an
I think it's the debt
unimaginable amount.
ceiling. Yeah, I think it's the debt ceiling, and I think they want to eliminate the debt ceiling completely. And it's like we're at the end game of this fiat, regime that we've had. And fiat is money for people. I feel like we use fiat a lot, but I think regular people don't know the word fiat just means man-made
No,
created money.
I think it's a car.
Yeah, so it's we're at the it feels like we're just at the dying whimper of this time in history, and they're doing everything they can to steal as much as they can before it just collapses. And I think they all know that Bitcoin is the future world reserve currency. I think we
Well,
feel it
I was going to
anyway.
say, if they got half a brain at all, they'll print the money, and with the money, they'll buy the Bitcoin. Or they'll use the gold, which we still don't know if that's there in Fort Knox or not, because there was going to be an audit, and then that all went very quiet, didn't it?
Yeah, I
And
know.
just buy
We didn't hear
Bitcoin. So
anything
if
about
there's
that.
If there's anything about them at all, that's what they'll do with the money. They'll print more, buy Bitcoin, or they'll use the gold, buy Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And then maybe we can then see that they are actually fixing it. But
Yeah.
until they do that, they're just continuing down the road of break it, broken, and break it even more, because it just continue won't get any better. But
Yeah.
maybe people will get to Bitcoin before they do. Well, that's the other thing. Now there's a race on, isn't it? It's not just America buying Bitcoin. It's now about other countries already buying Bitcoin, and they definitely don't want to be last in doing that. I don't think they will be. I think America probably will be first, but or second, because El Salvador's first, really.
Well, as a on a country level, but on a person level, I fear for America because I think that America feels like they have this financial privilege over the rest of the world. So I sometimes feel like the people of America, there isn't a huge amount of people. They trust their government so much. Maybe until recently, maybe they're not trusting so much more recently. But yeah, it just feels like it's like Bitcoin is the way, because when you think about gold, even how you were talking about how they didn't do the audit on Fort Knox, I mean, how do we know how much gold there is? These stocks that everyone has gold stock. Now many people have invested in gold and have it sitting in their home. So the people that are buying gold stocks, how do you know that that amount of stock you have equals any of the gold that you actually own? That could just be like some kind of ledger in a system where it's there's no verifying what there really is there, where Bitcoin is actual, we all know what supply there is always.
Well, it would probably be a similar kind of thing there if everyone wanted to withdraw their cash from the bank tomorrow. There's obviously not enough cash to do so, and I dare say it's the same scenario with the gold. If everyone wanted to take their gold out, and my God, that'd be a nightmare if you got a lot of gold. There'd be
Yeah.
stuff you have to get it shipped. It takes weeks to get anywhere.
I mean, imagine if people they could do a bank run on gold and gold stocks, because if people do start realizing Bitcoin is the digital gold, it's actually digital cash. It's better because it's not inflatable like our regular cash is. So if people do start selling their gold stock, it could really be a bank run on the gold where you realize there isn't the actual supply there to pay out for all the people that want to take out their money and buy Bitcoin instead.
And one of the best things about it is it fits in your pocket. It literally fits in your pocket. You go anywhere in the world with it, access it anywhere in the world. No shipping this, that, or transferring from one place to another.
It's true freedom with no
Crazy.
overlords.
It's brilliant. It's the way money should be. It's the way money should have been in the first place. But I get that it took a while to get to this point. But coming to this point, actually, I mean, all currencies throughout history have always failed. So it's just happening again, because the way they're designed, they just can't carry on the way they are. What was it, 1971? It come off the gold standard. That was probably the biggest mistake. It would have failed anyway at some point.
Yeah, because there's too much greed involved, and that's why we're in this they call it the fourth turning, where we're in this shift that's happening. So it's like a matter of time, and that's why you see this so many wars, so much control, so much chaos happening in the world, because it just feels like you can see it in on a society level, the way that it's fighting for its life. So it just, to me, every time I see all this chaos, being a Bitcoiner, when you have Bitcoin, you feel, again, we're not living in the middle of these war zones, so we're not feeling the same way as the people who live there that aren't allowed to leave. We're away from that, but at the same time, you see it and you're sad and you're hurting for these people and you're angry at the people causing this devastation. But we are also, in a way, you watch it and you're just like, okay, it's only a matter of time before these people go down. Like, you just know that this is, I feel like it's coming to an end when I see all this chaos. I think that they're just struggling to keep it alive and to keep this barbaric, you know, shit show alive as long as they can. And I think that they're coming to an end. I really feel like this is a shift into a new fair system for all people that, you know, levels the playing field. And I think people are starting to wake up. I really feel like when I see chaos, I think it's people waking up, because the more, again, the bigger they screw up, the more people find Bitcoin and they learn about truth.
I'm slightly more skeptical. I think they'll, because they're sick psychopaths, they'll do everything possible for that not to happen. They'll do everything possible to save themselves from any hardship at all. So I don't see them going down without a significant fight over it, put it that way. And they will do everything possible.
I understand your view, and I do feel like I have that idea as well, but I like to be hopeful when I think about what Bitcoin does and how eventually everyone just needs Bitcoin. Like, eventually this fiat system can only go for so long.
The great thing about Bitcoin, though, is that it will happen anyway. Regardless of what they do, regardless of any Bitcoin reserve or any countries adopting it or going on a Bitcoin standard or not going on a Bitcoin standard, Bitcoin will carry on doing what it's doing anyway.
Yeah.
That's the whole beauty of Bitcoin, is it just carries on.
Yeah.
You just see what it does. It's gone far for them to stop it now.
Yeah. I think about that when I had someone ask me the other day, so what do you think what Trump's doing means for Bitcoin? And I just responded with, you know, it really doesn't matter what Trump does with Bitcoin, because the rest of the world needs Bitcoin. If they end up implementing the strategic reserve, and, you know, that would be good for Bitcoin, because more of the supply will be, you know, bought up. But at the same time, if more governments or more, you know, it's going to happen regardless. It's already happening. Other governments need it more than technically our government does right now, but everyone does need it. It's just, it doesn't matter what policies Trump puts in place or not. If they fight Bitcoin or not, if they attack Bitcoin or not, it's like the rest of the world is not attacking Bitcoin because they need it as an answer to their problem. Yeah. So it's not like it's because of Trump anything is happening or not.
The good thing on this side is I've noticed actually people are waking up to Bitcoin a little bit more. I see more groups on X from the UK talking about it. Mm-hmm. I see a lot of policy talk. There's people talking to government officials about Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're disregarded and sometimes they're not. But this new, we got a Bitcoin treasury company over here now. Okay. Actually, I mean, they're based about 30 miles away from me, which is weird. SWC, Smarter Web Company. Mm-hmm. And they've done really, really well. They started a couple of months ago, no Bitcoin, did an IPO, I think at 2.5 pence per share, built it up, been buying Bitcoin. I think they've got over 200 Bitcoin now in a couple of months. Mm-hmm. And they keep raising more. And I think the share price is up at £2 something.
Mm-hmm.
Today from 2.5 pence.
But that's all we have to do.
That's really helped get a lot of attention about Bitcoin. People who weren't necessarily that interested in looking at Bitcoin before, strangely, they're interested in the company that is buying Bitcoin.
Right.
They should just buy Bitcoin. But yeah.
Right. But that's a good point. When people talk about Bitcoin treasury companies and they're skeptical about them and they think, oh, this isn't a good thing for Bitcoin. But for all the money in the world that is like boomer money and it's like old money that has been sitting in stocks, you know, of all kinds around the world, when those people start to notice companies take on Bitcoin as a treasury reserve asset and they're actually profiting and doing well and their stock price is going up over time, people are going to be interested in those stocks and they're going to say, oh, this is a great stock. You know, they're about this and this, but they also have Bitcoin on their balance sheet and they're going to want to get those stocks because they're thinking, so that's going to benefit Bitcoin more because those treasury companies will then have more capital to buy Bitcoin with. But it's like that's how you get this old money that's stuck in the stock market system to just start realizing that the companies that are buying Bitcoin are the ones that are healthy. You know, they're the healthier companies in the world.
The other issue with it, these Bitcoin treasury companies, is I say to people all the time, you shouldn't really be putting your money into them because all they're doing is using your money to buy Bitcoin. You should be using your money to buy Bitcoin, not giving it to them so they can buy Bitcoin. You should have the Bitcoin yourself.
Well, and that's the thing. That's what you want to teach people, how to get Bitcoin, which apps to download. I think a lot of people ask me the same thing. Like they're like, we hear your some of your Bitcoin videos, but you just have to tell people how to buy it. You know, so it's the simplest thing in the world to buy. You could download Strike. You know, Strike is a great one. I think they have really low fees. You don't have a lot of limits on your on what you purchase. You know, you can purchase, withdraw, you know, take it to cold storage. So they're the best place to just get started is I think Strike is an easy one. But we always try to tell people to do that. But I think for the people that are just stuck in this, they love the old system. They love the like for the people that will not do that, which they should buy their own Bitcoin. That's the best way to do it. But for the
100%.
people that won't do it or don't want to listen, they're gonna look at the stock and say, I'm buying that stock. You know, that they're not going to think, let me go buy Bitcoin. They're going to say, I like that stock because they're stuck in that mindset.
I orange pilled another friend last week. I think the last time I spoke to you actually on a podcast, I'd done another friend a week before I came on the first podcast. For this one, he's being made, well, he's taken voluntary redundancy. So he's heard me talking about Bitcoin before. So I had the phone call. Do you want to come over for a barbecue and maybe tell me a bit about this Bitcoin thing? I said, oh, why is that, man? He said, well, I've got a bit of money coming in a minute from redundancy. And he should have about £60,000, I think. So I said, well, that's a nice lump. I said, you could just put that straight into Bitcoin. And he shocked and he said, what, all of it? He said, oh, I was thinking about £1,000 maybe. I said, well, I'll come round, we'll talk, and then we'll see what you do with it. But they, as I talking to them about it, they're not fully getting it, which I understand. That's fine. It's sort of take it at your own pace. But in the end, I just said, I just showed them the way to buy it. So I set them up. We haven't had Strike for very long in this country, so we use Coin Corner. So I set them up a Coin Corner account. Did the questions for them, and then said, just buy £50 now. So they did that, bought £50, and said, buy another £50 next week. And then if you want, buy £100 the week after. I said, just keep doing that, treat it as a savings account. Because I said, if you put those £50 and that £100 in a savings account in your bank, it won't do anything. It won't go up.
You're gonna
It
lose
will
purchase.
just be the same amount of money it is. In fact, it'll be worse because it'll be worth less by the time you want to use it from a bank account. So I say, just put it into that account instead and just wait, just see.
No, that's perfect. That's a, and I think that's a great way to do it because once they have bought some Bitcoin, they actually have a little bit of incentive to realize what they own and actually take some time to research it. And it's funny because somebody like you who would just say, and like me who would just say, take that 60 thousand pounds and just put it right into Bitcoin, they look at you like, what? That's because we understand Bitcoin fully. But when you don't understand any of it, you think that sounds like, oh, that's risky. I don't know if I should do that. But once they learn more about it, which once they have a little stake in it, they'll have more incentive to learn about it. But once they learn more about it, it's almost like that's, I love the idea that the more you understand about Bitcoin, that's how much percentage of your portfolio you should have invested in it. So if you understand very little, just put very little. If you understand a decent amount, put a decent, you know, so, and then once you get
I
it.
can't, you sort of can't criticize them too much because when I started, I was skeptical. I didn't learn as much as I should have in the beginning. So I bought a little bit and then I waited and I bought a little bit more. still without really finding out too much about it. And sort of I kick myself now because I should have bought as much as I did like 3 or 4 years ago, 5 years earlier. And chances are I wouldn't have to work at the moment if I did that. So, you know,
right.
Kick it
but
down
that's
a
how
bit.
We all
but we all do the same thing.
I think everyone that buys Bitcoin, every single person that buys Bitcoin thinks they're buying it at too high of a price. They think, I'll buy a little now, but it might go down, so I'm afraid to put too much. So maybe I'll get more when it goes down. But then you just realize over time, it just keeps going up and up and up. And you're like, okay. So it's really not like you're not investing in Bitcoin, you're saving in Bitcoin. So this is something that's going up forever because it is limited. So it's like people just don't realize yet the idea that it's going up forever. They don't understand the scarcity. And they look too in too short of a window of time. So you have to expand your time horizon. But you do have to be understanding that you were the same way when you started out too. Like when you don't get it, you're afraid to put too much. You always think you're buying it at the highest point. And you always think, am I crazy for buying it at this price? I'm nuts. And it's too expensive. Like I should have bought it a long time ago. But you think I might as well just wet my, you know, dip my toe in the water and like, you know what I mean? Get a little bit. But then as time goes on, you just realize it's always going to go up. So it's never too late to buy it because it's compared to the reason Bitcoin always goes up is because fiat never stops being created. You know, there it's an infinite amount of supply of money.
That's infinity printing fiat world. But I try not to overwhelm them when I orange pill them now. I give them the basics.
Yeah, just tell them it's a savings account, like you said, and just average into it like it's your savings. Like just whatever you want to put aside, put it there. Because in the bigger picture, it's going to be worth it. In your bank, you're losing purchasing power over time. Your money buys you less as they keep creating money.
Guess what shoes I wore when I went there?
You did? You were? Let me see.
I can't get my leg up. Take it off.
Oh, I love it. That's amazing. Wait, what does it say again on the side? Because fuck banks. Yes, that's amazing. I love it.
It was the first thing they noticed when I walked in. They said, those new shoes. And then they looked a bit closer. They're Bitcoin shoes, aren't you?
Yes. So I wanted to talk about your shoes. And I'm so excited because you just put up your website. And you're sharing it with people. You have a ton of amazing designs. You've created me a shoe for my show, for the Bitcoin Nova, which you're gifting to me. And I'm so excited about. So
that's
I was thinking maybe in today.
I'm hoping that arrives tomorrow because quite typically it's going to, because it said between the 14th and 18th, doesn't it? So obviously it's going to arrive on the last day of that.
Yeah, I was thinking, I'm like, maybe the doorbell will ring before we get on. I'll get to show my shoe. But it's so amazing. The design is great. And I can't wait to, like, part of me wants to display them, but I want to wear them. You said they're super comfortable. And then, and I love that you have even, you know, the white paper design. You have like the Bitcoin white paper on the shoes. You have, you made one for Lawrence for the big print book. And you have so many awesome designs. I feel like they look like a nice clean shoe. You know, some of them have the orange, you know, majority of colors, some of them have more white, you know, but I just feel like they look so clean and you could wear them with anything. And I just think I can't wait to share the website with people too, so people can see them.
I like the ones that whack people in the face because that's what I want them to do because I want people to notice the shoe. Mm-hmm. And then notice what's on the shoe, and then they can ask about what's on the shoe. Because strangely, although there's not most sort of people don't know about Bitcoin yet, if they see the Bitcoin logo, they do know about it because they'll ask about it. So that it sort
it's
of
like us talking. It's like a little bit of a conversation starter. So I'm going to link is it okay if I put your link in the video?
Yes, absolutely.
And what's the name of the company again? The name of the shoes, the website?
Satoshoes.
I love that. So that's because of Satoshi, for those of you that don't know, the anonymous creator of Bitcoin.
The little fella behind you.
Yes. Yeah, this...
I'm trying. I want to get Rob's Satoshi ornament, if I can, somewhere on the website. I know he's got a little bit of an issue with delivery when it comes to worldwide because it's so expensive to send stuff. I would, if I wasn't doing it the way I was doing it, if I was sending them myself, just wouldn't be able to do it because it costs a fortune. But I want to get his statue on there if I can.
So it's called the Ghost of Satoshi. And I love it because it's a mini version of the Satoshi statue in El Salvador. So I love how you can, you know, he sends it to people. He sent me this as a gift. So this is my one gift, and I'm getting a gift from you today. You guys are incredible.
You've just recently done one in, I think he called it marble. It's like a white marbly sort of color, and looks really nice.
Yes. And I love how this is just like the real one. Like the real one, you see this in different, you could see through it when you look straight ahead. So it's called the Ghost of Satoshi. But I love what he does is he has his files available that you could use if you have a 3D printer or access to a 3D printer. You can go on MakerWorld and look up Ghost of Satoshi. And you can actually print this yourself. It comes in pieces that you clip together. So if you wanted to bypass the shipping and all that, you could always try to do it that way, but it's so kind of him to actually put it out there for people and actually be able to 3D print it yourself. But isn't this beautiful? Like just seeing it head on like that and see how it's
amazing. Cause I love the statue anyway. I'm not sure where it is actually. There might be two of them, two different locations.
I forgot where the first one was, but I know the second one I think is in El Salvador.
Oh, obviously, it would have to be an El Salvador, wouldn't it? But the actual thing itself looks amazing. But they're just brilliant, smaller version. And he's doing all those different colors and stuff now as well.
Yeah, and I remember looking when I first saw that statue. I'm like, oh, that'd be cool to get like a desktop size or something I could put like, you know, on my shelf. And then I was looking and nobody had anything like that. There was nothing out there. So just knowing that somebody in our community on the Bitcoin Army and community on X, he created this, and it's an honor to have someone in our group that we've known and is talented enough to create this. So really I'm so good. Happy this is my first gift, that you have another gift coming for me, and I can't wait to show that off to my awesome shoes, the Satoshi.
On the next podcast, you might have a Nova podcast shoe in the background somewhere.
Yeah, I think so.
Probably be on your feet.
I love it. No, I mean, I could always like put it up there. So I just want to show it. So it's like, I want to order more. It's like, I want the white paper shoes for sure. I think those are.
Oh, yeah, they are nice, those actually. I've got several pairs coming on the way to me at the moment because there's the supplier I used for yours, they limit the shipping, there's restrictions, so they won't send to certain places. So then Olu, I think, asked me the question in the messages about sending it, he couldn't access it and that sort of stuff. And then I realized I actually couldn't send any to Nigeria anyway. So I had to look for another supplier, but I found another supplier that does global. And they're a little, it seems they're going to be a bit quicker on delivery as well, because they offer the faster version, which the other ones do, but it's a much cheaper, faster delivery version, if you like. So I do a standard shipping and it's still a bit quicker, and then a faster shipping and it should be more like 7 days than 14 days, you know?
That's great. So that's going to be for Bitcoin Nigeria, the conference out there that he wanted you to be able to have the shoes shipped out there. And that's amazing that you're able to find a way to do that.
Pause you 2 seconds.
Yeah.
We've got a cat doing something.
Yeah, no.
Sorry. My cat just chased another cat in.
Yeah, that's okay.
And we both ran upstairs, so I had to chuck other cat out.
No problem. I was actually probably going to finish up now because my kids are getting a little rowdy. But I wanted to share this last thing. I could always share it on my screen, but it's probably easier. But I just saw that Donald Trump posted unconditional surrender with an exclamation mark. And somebody said, I thought this was about nuclear weapons. Now it's a regime change. And then somebody else said, literally a week ago, no one in our country cared about or felt threatened by Iran. It's done nothing since then against us, insanity. So it's just like watching this is just like watching a circus. And I don't know.
What's he saying? Unconditional surrender.
I don't know. Unconditional, like it's because something about like a regime change. Like we're not gonna, I don't know what exactly that means, you know? So he just posted like unconditional surrender. He just,
Okay.
that's it, just two words. So don't
Let's
know.
see what that means.
Yeah, but I'm gonna try to post this today because I want to get this out there. I think it's great because it's a current, you know, we're talking about things that are happening right now. So I'm just gonna put this out there. I'm just gonna throw it up on YouTube right away. I don't feel like I need,
Who
yeah.
was I filling in for, by the way? Who couldn't do?
Natalie Brunell.
Oh, really?
Yep. I had a couple was it appointments scheduled with her, but she got sick the last two times and she told me, send me your schedule again. I'm sorry, I'm sick again. It's terrible timing. So I didn't see it till, you know, I was getting ready for the show and I was like, oh, I just noticed her email. So it was fine. I'm like, whatever, it happens. So she's gonna just try to book another one. So thank you so much for filling in.
If you'd have said, I'd have tried to look as beautiful as Natalie, but
That's
that would require a lot of makeup.
you could have put on a Donald Trump wig or something at least to like do something funny. But no, thank you for joining me. Thanks for being here last minute and talking about all this stuff because I really need to talk to someone about it because this is just craziness.
Again.
Yeah, thank you, and I can't wait to get your shoes and show those off
Yes.
and link the
I
website.
hope they arrive tomorrow now. They might
Thank
still arrive today.
you. Okay, I'll let
But
you know if I get them.
excellent.
Thank you. Have a great day.
And you. Thank you.